You know, this is the awakening week, this week, and it's a time that we set to fast and to just praise and worship God and dedicate ourselves to the Lord. You know, for me, fasting food is not a big deal anymore because I fast food so much. But this, just before the service in the office, I got this conviction and I got the word coffee. And I remember when I got that, I go, no, God, not that. That's just too hard. not coffee. And then Catherine says, you know, you need to sacrifice. It should be painful or something like that, Catherine said, as a our youth pastor. And as I was praying through that, okay, you know, to show you that I'm not that strong, I told God, you know, okay, I'm going to fast food, but coffee too, but just for 3 days, okay, not 5 days. I'm going to try it out for 3 days, and if I'm not cranky and I don't have headaches, you know, I'll continue, God. So with fasting, again, we don't have to be so strict, you know, we don't have to be legalistic, but this, I got this conviction for the church this week. Can you fast something this week? That's something that's going to hurt you, that hurts you, that confuses you, that depresses you, right? One or two things, that's easy, right? That's easy. Fast. If you're not fasting food, and you're fasting food, but also include something that stresses you out, something that's not helping you, can you fast that? Okay? And replace that with something that you could dedicate to the Lord, like prayer, meditation on the word, or even evangelism. Dedicate that time to the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm finishing the Love the Bible series, and the title for this Sunday is Bible and the Great Commission. The Bible and the Great Commission. You know, you heard for this series, how we need to meditate on the Word of God, how we need to study the Word. What I see in Scripture is about the Great Commission, especially this passage, Luke 24:44-48. Right? Luke 24:44-48. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the psalm. So while Jesus was with the disciples, what he did, he taught them what was in the Old Testament. Okay? What was in the Old Testament. And then, this is after his resurrection, he's spending time with the disciple. And it says this, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Bible. He opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. He told them, this is what is written. Okay? This is what's so important about the Bible. This is what's written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sin. This is the gospel. This is so important in the Bible. It's the gospel. But it's not just, but he goes further. So if you have the gospel, then it will be preached in his name to all nations. Beginning at Jerusalem, you are my witness of these things. Okay? What's so important in the Bible is the gospel. But if you understand the gospel, the Bible, Great Commission is very important to you. The Great Commission is important to you. You see, the Great Commission is recorded, you know, after Jesus resurrected, is recorded in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and even in the book of Acts. Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Mark chapter 16, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. You know, and you got to understand, when Jesus was spending time with the disciples, and he was challenging them about the Great Commission. It wasn't just he said a couple sentences. I believe he spent the whole day teaching his disciple, commanding them to go make disciples. And that's why it's not, you know, and we're getting parts of what he taught from the different gospel books. John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then in Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus reminded his disciple, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the Old Testament. Then the Bible says he opened their mind so that they could understand. It goes together, opening their mind and understanding Scripture. And Jesus, what Jesus did was he helped them understand the redemptive history recorded in the Bible. And what is the redemptive history? How God was working out salvation for the whole world. But what does it mean to open the mind to understand Scripture? Okay, biblical understanding of Scripture is not just head knowledge. It's just not information. Biblical understanding is this, that it touches your heart, it fills your heart, and it overflows from your heart and touches others. It touches others. And this is the Great Commission. You understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. It touches you. It changes your life. But doesn't stop there. It overflows out of you and touches others around you. And it continues to flow from, it's a Great Commission, meaning it's for all believers. And so it continues to flow from all believers until it reaches the whole world. The whole world. So the Great Commission, right, to fully, that word understand the Bible, it means it touches you. And it doesn't stop there. It spreads. You and I go. You and I become witness. You and I reach the lost. You and I, together, disciple nations. Okay, disciple nations. That scripture says, opening the mind to scripture, there's another way of saying this. In Psalm 119, verse 18, it says this. Open my eyes, okay? There's another way of saying opening my mind. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from the Bible, from your law, from the Bible. Open my eyes is another way of saying open my mind so that I'll have a biblical understanding of the Bible. See, what does it mean to open my eyes? See, when you and I were born physically, everything you learn in life comes through the five senses that God gave us. Through sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. But as a Christian, we live in two worlds, two realities. The spiritual, which we cannot see, and the physical world that we understand through the five senses, right? See, the Bible opens our eyes to the spiritual world. The Bible opens our eyes to the spiritual. The Bible helps us to understand the unseen. As the five senses help us understand the physical, the Bible helps, it's like a five senses to the spiritual. In the spiritual, the Bible helps us to see, help us to hear, help us to taste and see how good the Lord is. To taste and touch, be touched. The Bible is like the five spiritual senses to the spiritual. And as a Christian, the spiritual world is more real than the physical. As a Christian, we need to know how to operate and overcome in the spiritual more than the physical. That's why Ephesians 6, our battle is not flesh and blood. It's not physical. But we need to fight the spiritual battle in the spiritual, in the unseen. You see, the physical world is going to vanish. It will not last. This building will eventually, someday, will crumble. The sound system that we have eventually is going to break down. The physical will not last. Huh? We have a greater calling than just live in this world physically. The Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Our goal is not to live the physical life, but to overcome in the spiritual. It is to release God's kingdom on earth. It is to release God's will on earth. See, turn to Matthew 13, verse 19. Matthew 13, verse 19. It says, this is the parable of the seed, parable of the sower. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, they do not understand the spiritual here, the spiritual significance. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatch away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Okay? There's a seed. Okay? That's God's truth, God's promise, God's blessing. It's God's word that's planted in our heart. But when a person does not understand it, their mind is not open. Their spiritual eyes are not open. Okay, they don't know how to operate from the spiritual. Okay, they're looking from the physical and not the spiritual. It says they stay, the seed is planted in their heart, but what they do is they lean on their own understanding and not the spiritual understanding. Then what happens? That seed becomes just information. It doesn't touch the heart. The unseen. It doesn't touch the heart. And when the word of God is planted in your heart and you can't see, your spiritual eyes not open, you can't see from the spiritual, it doesn't touch the heart, it doesn't overflow in your heart, the Bible says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Right? What does it mean, the evil one comes and snatch away the seed? Well, you could come every Sunday to church and you hear the word of God, okay? But your eyes are not open. Okay? The seed, what it means is that seed will be taken away from you. That seed will slowly lose its power. See, when you first hear the word of God, you receive it, you agree with it, but you do not biblically understand it. Your spiritual eyes are not open. Your heart is not touched. It has become information and not an overflow. Then the devil will come and steal the seed. Let me give you an example. You hear the sermon on evangelism. You hear a sermon on missions, being a witness in your workplace, about reaching the lost, about salvation for your children. And people will agree with it, even say, that was a good sermon. But we don't biblically understand it. It has just become head knowledge, information. The thought is still there, the concept is still there, but it is not practiced. Okay? It is not practiced. Then what the Bible says is if we can't live it, the seed will be stolen. The power of the seed is removed. The power of the seed is removed so that it has no power anymore to change who I am. In the gospel, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were the most dangerous group of people to Jesus. Read the gospel. Some of the harshest word that came out of the mouth of Jesus was to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they memorized scripture, they studied the scripture, they taught the Bible, but they did not live it. Jesus calls the Pharisees and the teachers of the law snakes and vipers. In the Bible, snake represent the kingdom of the devil. Okay, that's why the book of Genesis, the serpent, a snake came into the garden. The devil came into the garden. The seed has lost power in their life for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. What it's saying is, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were more influenced by the devil than God. Okay? You see, the gospel message, if it's just head knowledge, it has become something only to be taught and debated. The gospel message becomes a theory and not an encounter. Not a life change, not a new life. The gospel message becomes a theory and not an encounter of God's forgiveness, God's redemption, justification, cleansing, and sanctification. How is this related with the Great Commission? What did Jesus say about the harvest? Okay. John chapter 4, verse 35. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, here's it again, open your eyes. Okay? Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Okay? Don't look at evangelism and mission, this community with just information or people as numbers. Open your eyes to the spiritual. Their souls. This passage is in the context of Jesus reaching out to the Samaritan woman. Right? And Jesus wasn't concerned about tradition or people's opinion. Jesus cared about the Samaritan woman's soul. Jesus shared with her about the kingdom of God. And the Samaritan woman believed and was saved. But the disciples, his disciples, they went out to look for something to eat. They were concerned about getting food. They avoided the Samaritans. They had a lot of judgment and criticism and mistrust toward the Samaritans. They just stuck with one another. They were very careful not to talk with anyone around them. They kept to themselves. They wanted to come into the town secretly and soon as possible leave the town secretly. Spiritually, because they were looking with the physical eyes, they didn't see an opportunity. They didn't see that the harvest was ready. So Jesus tells his disciple, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus, you know, to the disciples, he was teaching them scripture, but they were still looking with the physical eyes and not the spiritual. looking at the temporal and not the eternal, looking at culture and tradition instead of seeing how much God loved the Samaritans. Focus on the Samaritan woman's sin and forgot grace and mercy. They didn't look with their spiritual eyes open, but only with the physical eyes. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, I travel to a lot of different cities in the past. In L.A., okay, one pastor will say to me, "This city, L.A., is the toughest city in the United States." Okay? It's the toughest city in the United States. Then, you know, I go to New York City, New York, Manhattan, and a pastor will say, "No, New York City is the most dry, most secular, toughest city to reach in the United States." Then I go to San Francisco. You know, the L.A. pastor in New York, they don't know what they're talking about. They should come to San Francisco. San Francisco is the toughest city in the United States to reach. Well, when it comes to the Bible, what does the Bible say? They're all wrong. They're wrong. In L.A., Jesus says, harvest is plentiful. Harvest is ready. L.A. is ready for harvest. New York City, San Francisco, Bergen County. Yes, even Hackensack. Okay. Bergen County, Patterson. Is ready for the harvest. The world is ready for the harvest. And I really sense that in my heart. I know it's been so crazy. I know it's been so crazy a few years. And what I see happening, and God's allowing this, God's allowing people to go away from God and lean on their own understanding, their own morals, their own way of seeing things. And there's going to be more division. There's going to be more bondage. There will be more spiritual attack. There will be more depression. And why would God allow this? The world's going to wake up. They need to come back to the Lord. And we need to be ready. The workers need to be ready. You know, I was at a conference in, New Jersey, and there was this speaker that said, God spoke to me, and prophetically, God showed me that God's going to bring revival in New Jersey. That's what he said, and everybody clapped. But the problem is, I went to a conference in New York, and the speaker there gave a prophetic word. God's going to bring revival in New York City. I was at a conference in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah, I didn't even know that Baton Rouge existed before this conference. I went there. You know, there wasn't even a Korean restaurant. How can God, anyway? And the speaker says, God's going to start a revival here, and it will spread to the whole nation and to the world. I was at a revival meeting in Florida. I don't even remember that city name. It was Lakeland. It was Lakeland, right? Lakeland, yeah. In Florida, and the speaker said this, God's going to start a revival in this city, and he will take it to the world. Okay? You know what? Okay? If you know the Bible, they're all right. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is ready. The world is ready for revival. Say that to your neighbor. The world is ready for revival. But this is the challenge that what the Bible says about the Great Commission, and we need to fix this. The problem is the workers are few. That's the problem. The workers are few. Jesus did not ask us to pray for the harvest because he says it's ready. Okay? But Jesus tells us to pray for the worker. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. See, God's plan for the Great Commission is not one person or few people to bring in the harvest. The Great Commission is a command to all believers. The Great Commission is not the work of the few, but the work of the church. This is our work. See, the word church comes from this Greek word, ekklesia. Okay? There's two meanings to that word, assembly and called out ones. Assembly and the called out one. And when it comes to the Great Commission, we need to bring that two definitions together to know what a church is. Right? We assemble to love God and to love one another. And we are called out to love the world around us. Okay, that's the Great Commission. But we gotta have this biblical understanding of the Great Commission. Not see with human eyes, but spiritual eyes. Not just be information or number, but be an overflow. It needs to be an overflow. See, we were lost. Right? Now we're found. In this broken world, we have forgiveness and new life. Yes, we live in this broken world. There's sickness, there's suffering, there's difficulty. But in Christ, we have eternal hope. And we have to have this biblical understanding of the Great Commission. Even though we live in a broken world, we need to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus. Not that we're better than them. Not that we're living this perfect life. None of us here are. I'm not living a perfect life. You are not. But we need, okay, biblical understandings. God, you gave me hope. Let me share that hope with others. In this difficulty, you're strengthening me. Let me share that strength with others. That our hope is in Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. We are overcomers in Christ. That we have eternal life in Christ. What does it mean to obey the Great Commission? What I'm trying to do is, when you think about Great Commission, it's about going to another nation. It's missions. No. I want us to have a deeper understanding that we're all called for the Great Commission. Right? For example, in Catalyst, we have inner healing ministry. You know what? I'm going to say this. It's not for you. We need to understand, open our eyes and mind to the Great Commission when it comes to inner healing. What happens? We get measure of healing, and we need to be used by God to heal others. The Bible says the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord came upon me and healed me. And then we got to connect that with the Great Commission. Now he's going to use me to heal the brokenhearted. What we have in Christ, we need to share it with someone else. If we do not have that biblical understanding of the Great Commission, you know what the Bible says? Eventually, the devil will steal that seed. it will lose, that seed will lose its power. And I see this in a healing. You know, God, heal me. There's still different levels I have to go. Heal me from my father issues. But I remembered, you know, when I began that process, you know what I did? I started sharing with other people, trying to help them with their father issue. And I believe that's the reason I went deeper in my healing. When healing is very selfish, it's just me, how I feel. You know, how I feel. It's all about me. You know what happens? There could be a measure of healing, and the devil will come and steal that healing from you. And later on, sometimes, you become worse. There are areas the Lord has delivered you from. And if you have biblical understanding of the Great Commission, you're called to set others free. You're called to set others free. God answered your prayer. You know, there's turmoil in your life. There's turmoil at home. There's things going on. And you prayed, and God, help me. Provide for me, God. Move in me. And God answered your prayer. We have many testimonies of that in this church. But you need to connect it with the biblical understanding of the Great Commission. Your prayer eventually has to become intercession, where you're praying for others, where you're praying for family members, where you're praying for this community, where you're praying for this nation. You're connecting this biblical understanding of the Great Commission. We have children ministry, youth ministry at our church. You know, I'm going to share with you what it's not. It's not a babysitting service, okay? So that you have a couple hours free every Sunday. But we have this biblical understanding of the Great Commission. The children ministry, the youth ministry is a partnership with the parent to prepare our children to reach the world. To reach the world. What about worship? You know, in the modern time, it could become very human-driven worship, personality-driven, talent-driven, entertainment-driven, emotion-driven, right? It's all about me again. Worship is all about me. Then worship will lose its power. There needs to be a biblical understanding of the Great Commission even when it comes to worship. And what does the Bible say about that? In Romans 12, verse 1, I didn't put it up there, but Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, okay, again, the mercy of God touched you. It's not just an information in your head. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What is true and proper worship? You go outside of yourself. You become a living sacrifice. And the Bible says, this is true and proper worship. You go outside of yourself when you worship. What about prophetic ministry? Okay, prophetic ministry, you could be so focused on yourself. It's about impressing others by your accuracy, you know. It's about showing others that I know something that you don't know. It's about showing others that I have this special power and you don't. No. Even with the prophetic ministry, you need to have a biblical understanding of the Great Commission. 1 Corinthians 14 says the prophetic gift is given to you, not so that you could pretend that you have some spiritual power or people's applause. 1 Corinthians 14 says it's used to comfort, edify, and encourage others. Prophetic ministry needs to be connected with this biblical understanding of the Great Commission. And you know, if from my experience, personal experience, if I ask you, do you feel like my prophetic gift is pretty strong? Right? Most, you know, I believe a lot of people say, wow, Pastor Sam, you have really anointed prophetic gift. If you go to AMI churches, they say I have the most anointed prophetic gift. And you know what made me grow in the prophetic gift? Right now, I'm just being very honest. I don't care if people prophesy over me. I don't seek that anymore. You know, because when I go, you know what they'll say? You are an apostle. Oh, God's going to use you to change the world. You know, I don't need that anymore. I don't need that anymore. It's just hard enough trying to walk out some of the smaller prophetic words I receive, you know. But my prophetic gift, my focus, how can I minister to you? How can I encourage you? How can I comfort you? And because of that biblical understanding of the prophetic gift of the Great Commission, you know what? My prophetic gift is increasing. It's getting stronger. It's becoming more powerful. Why? Because of the biblical understanding of the Great Commission. In order to disciple nations, we need a church filled with people with a powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit to reach the whole world. When you come to Catalyst, I hope what motivates you to come here is not the programs, you know, the activities or the convenience, you know, or this facility. But what motivates us is the Great Commission. I hope you come because you have a desire to love more. You want to be able to love your family more. You want to be able to love this church family more. You want to love this community more. You want to love this nation more. And you want to love other nations more. And I want to, and you and I, we want to love God more. See, when you have that heart, your spiritual eyes are open. You have a biblical understanding of the Great Commission. And God's people said, okay, let's pray.